Hey Mason, July 9th, 2026. Today we are starting with a quick radar briefing on the newest kept research, followed by a deep dive into geospatial artificial intelligence, and then we will look at the week in general artificial intelligence. We are beginning with the radar briefing to see how recent developments in large language models are impacting the way we process historical documents. Recent studies suggest that fine-tuning models on specific community-approved datasets can significantly reduce errors in transcription. One earlier study showed that when models are grounded in verified texts, the accuracy of recognizing specialized vocabulary increases by nearly 40%. Let us look at the latest research updates. Recent developments in the research landscape highlight a growing focus on the technical and cultural complexities of supporting low-resource languages. One significant theme involves the mechanics of cross-lingual transfer and how reasoning capabilities in high-resource languages like English can be leveraged to improve performance in underserved ones. A large-scale study by Andrea Alfarano and colleagues examines how estimating uncertainty during reasoning can improve performance in multilingual multiple-choice question answering. This is particularly relevant for ensuring the reliability of models when they are adapted to languages with limited training data. Similarly, research by Lukmal Ilyas and Navidu Jayatilike explores cross-lingual transfer learning specifically for speech recognition, moving from Sinhala to Divehi. These findings offer potential pathways for building more efficient speech models for languages that lack massive audio datasets. The challenge of complex orthographies and scripts also remains a central hurdle. For instance, Berthe Bayer-Seiken and colleagues present work on cognitive pivot translation for Mongolian, which uses a traditional script alongside a modern one. This research addresses the ambiguity that arises when a language uses multiple writing systems, a problem that mirrors the difficulties of working with legacy Lakota texts and varying orthographic standards. This is further complicated by the need for robust reasoning in non-English contexts. Darina Dementieva and a team of researchers have introduced Plurimath, an effort to extend mathematical reasoning evaluations beyond high-resource languages. This highlights the necessity of developing evaluation frameworks that do not just rely on English-centric logic but actually test the cognitive depth of models in underrepresented languages. Beyond the technical mechanics of translation and reasoning, there is a critical intersection between artificial intelligence and the preservation of cultural identity. Aparna Madhva and several other authors argue for rethinking artificial intelligence through the lens of cultural heritage preservation. Their work emphasizes that building models for linguistically diverse populations is not just a technical task but a matter of protecting cultural legacies. This aligns closely with the goal of community-governed data and language sovereignty. Finally, as these models are deployed for practical uses such as public health, the architecture of the retrieval system becomes paramount. Felix Feldman and his co-authors conducted a systematic evaluation of retrieval augmented generation configurations to ensure faithfulness and quality in question answering. For a project grounded in community-approved books, these methodologies for evaluating retrieval quality and faithfulness are essential to ensure that the information provided to the community is both accurate and trustworthy. The challenge of scaling Earth Observation Foundation models is not just about having more data, but about knowing where to spend your compute budget to make that data actually useful for downstream tasks. Most researchers follow the lead of natural language and computer vision, where they try to minimize a pre-training loss and assume that a lower loss equals a better model. However, the Tessera V2 paper, a massive study from researchers at the University of Cambridge, NVIDIA, and D-Climate Labs, proves that this intuition is fundamentally broken for satellite imagery. The core problem is that Earth observation data is inherently messy. Unlike a clean dataset of cat photos, satellite time series are plagued by clouds, shadows, and irregular orbital revisits. When you use a self-supervised objective like Barlow Twins, which tries to reduce redundancy in the data, the model can cheat. It might learn to minimize the loss by simply becoming invariant to clouds or sensor noise, which are features that have nothing to do with the actual physical processes on the ground, like vegetation growth or urban expansion. Because of this, the researchers found that the pre-training loss is a terrible predictor of how well a model will actually perform on tasks like land cover classification or change detection. In fact, they found that selecting models based on loss rather than downstream performance can waste more than 250% of your total compute. To solve this, the team conducted a massive controlled scaling study involving 395 different training runs on over 1,000 NVIDIA GH200 superchips. They wanted to find the optimal way to split a fixed compute budget between three things: the size of the encoder, the size of the projector, and the amount of training data. The results provided a clear empirical recipe. They found that as you increase your budget, you should grow the encoder capacity and the amount of training data, but you should keep the projector size essentially fixed. The projector is just a temporary scaffold used during training; it does not need to scale. This is a significant departure from standard scaling laws and provides a concrete rule for anyone building large-scale geospatial models. The mechanical heart of Tessera V2 is a massive 1 billion parameter teacher model. This teacher is a dual-branch transformer that processes both Sentinel-1 radar and Sentinel-2 optical data. It uses a specialized temporal approach where, during training, it sees random, sparse subsamples of a year's worth of observations. This forces the model to learn how to reconstruct the full annual phenology even when much of the data is missing due to clouds. At inference time, the model is even more robust, using an adaptive bucket sampling method that packs all available observations into the smallest possible sequence length, ensuring no data is wasted. However, a 1 billion parameter model is far too heavy for most practitioners to run globally on a recurring basis. To make this useful, the researchers used a technique called knowledge distillation. They took the intelligence of that massive teacher and compressed it into a family of much smaller student models, ranging from 44 million parameters down to just 1 million. These students are designed to be embeddings as data. Instead of you running a heavy backbone on your own hardware, you can simply download pre-computed analysis-ready embeddings. One of the most clever technical innovations here is the use of Matryoshka representations. In many embedding systems, if you want a smaller vector to save on storage, you have to train a whole new model. Tessera V2 avoids this by training the students to produce nested embeddings. This means a single 128-dimensional embedding actually contains smaller functional versions of itself within its first 16, 32, or 64 dimensions. The researchers found that even if you only use the 16-dimensional prefix, you still retain about 92% of the performance of the full vector, while using only 1/8 of the storage. This turns the trade-off between accuracy and I/O costs into a simple knob that the user can turn. The findings from this study are quite striking. On a massive suite of 29 different tasks, the distilled Tessera V2 student models outperformed all other open and proprietary embedding products they tested. This is particularly impressive because the smallest students are orders of magnitude smaller than the models they are competing against. They also found that these distilled students are much more stable across different years and are better at shedding the artifacts often left behind by satellite sensor noise. Sadly, there are, of course, limitations to keep in mind. While the scaling laws derived here are powerful, the authors explicitly state they are not universal laws for all Earth observation. They were specifically derived for the Barlow twins architectural family. Furthermore, the distillation process, while efficient, is a one-off cost that requires a very high-quality teacher to be effective. If your teacher model is biased or fails to capture certain temporal dynamics, those errors will be baked into every single student in the family. For a practitioner working with Sentinel-2 or running local models, there is a clear takeaway here. When you are scaling up your own research, stop obsessing over the pre-training loss. It is a vanity metric that does not correlate with the utility of your embeddings. Instead, focus your compute on increasing the complexity of your encoder and the diversity of your training data. If you find yourself hitting a wall with inference costs or storage, do not just try to prune a large model. Instead, look into distillation and nested representations. The Tessera V2 approach suggests that the most efficient way to work is to train a god model once, and then distill its knowledge into a fleet of tiny specialized workers that can be deployed cheaply and flexibly. Ignore the temptation to build massive monolithic backbones for every new task. The future of geospatial AI lies in these compact, highly optimized student models that treat embeddings as a lightweight analysis-ready data layer. Moving from the specific mechanics of model evaluation, we turn to the broader shifts occurring across the industry this week. The landscape of large-scale models is fragmenting into specialized tiers, as seen with the release of the GPT 5.6 family from OpenAI. They have introduced three distinct models named Sol, Terra, and Luna. Sol is their flagship, designed for long-horizon tasks like complex coding or biological research, and it is even running on specialized wafer-scale hardware to reach speeds of 750 tokens per second. Terra sits in the middle, offering performance comparable to the previous version at half the cost, while Luna is built for speed and low cost. For those of us focused on local inference, this confirms a growing trend where the industry is no longer just chasing raw intelligence, but is instead optimizing for specific economic and computational niches. At the same time, the line between a model and a specialized tool is blurring further. SpaceX, having absorbed xAI, has released Grok 4.5 in partnership with the coding startup Cursor. This model is being positioned for high-stakes work in legal and financial sectors. While the marketing claims it is as capable as the top-tier models from competitors, the real takeaway is the aggressive pricing and the deep integration into existing developer workflows. This competition in the agentic space is also being mirrored by Anthropic, which has expanded Claude Cowork to web and mobile platforms. This allows coding agents to run scheduled tasks in the cloud that continue even when your device is offline, signaling a shift where the model is less of a chatbot and more of a persistent background worker. We are also seeing significant breakthroughs in how we understand what is happening inside these black boxes. Anthropic researchers published work on an internal neural workspace they call JSpace. By using a specific mathematical method, they identified a region in the model that functions much like a global workspace in human consciousness, though they are careful to note this is purely functional rather than sentient. This is not just a theoretical curiosity, it is being framed as a safety tool to detect when a model is hiding its reasoning or fabricating data. The fact that researchers at Google DeepMind were able to reproduce these findings on an open-weight model like Qwen 3.627b is a major win for the community. It suggests that interpretability tools are becoming more portable and less dependent on proprietary closed systems. However, these technical leaps are colliding with intense regulatory scrutiny. The United States government recently lifted export controls on Anthropic's Fable 5 model, which had been suspended after researchers found ways to bypass its safeguards to generate exploit code. This incident highlights the ongoing tension between model capability and the security obligations required to prevent misuse. Simultaneously, the Federal Trade Commission is proposing new policies regarding accuracy and ideological steering. They are investigating whether companies that secretly nudge model outputs towards specific political or social objectives are violating consumer protection laws. For those of us building community-governed language tools, this underscores the vital importance of data sovereignty. As the major players face scrutiny over how they steer their models, the value of transparent community-approved datasets becomes even more apparent. The industry is moving toward a future of highly specialized, highly monitored agents, making the work of building grounded, local, and sovereign systems more critical than ever. We have explored the intersection of geospatial artificial intelligence and the broader shifts occurring across the machine learning landscape this week. From mapping the physical world to the rapid evolution of large language models, the pace of change remains constant. That brings us to the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed the deep dive, Mason. We will be back again soon to look at what comes next in this evolving field.